so that we potentially could see if there's anything we can agree on? Or is it to have your administration, kind of like what I asked the last time, right? Where is it just to have you draft a rule, we get the opportunity to give input, you can choose to listen or not, you forward it on to us to kind of put us in a box where the only option we have is to say yes or no as opposed to an actual discussion?
That's why, that's the question I asked initially. What will you say yes to, I think, will help us get to that point. But if you're not sure exactly what that would be right now, and I'm not sure there's anything, frankly, but if there are some things that you can let us know now, then we would try to incorporate that into a rule. I mean, administrative rulemaking, yes, we have to write it, but would we like to have your input? Would we like to know ahead of time what you're saying yes to? Yes. Would you say yes to? Yes.
Well, I guess that's my question as I try to understand what the reasoning for the rule would be and what tools you would get that you don't already have in the toolbox. So what I've written down so far is the ability to have a coordinated statewide strategy and clarity when people go from municipality to municipality.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Okay, so are there other things that you feel, you know, Senator Fitzgerald and I have to go back and explain this to our caucus, who, you know, feels like they have really been boxed out of this process for the last 10 weeks. So if we're going to go back and say, you know, we might need to be open to some of the ideas that you're suggesting because they make sense, I got to know what those are to begin the process, as opposed to what will I accept? Well, I don't know what you need.
Right, but the rulemaking process is clear. We do a scope statement. That has to, we can't do any rulemaking until that's done. This is going to take 10 days of waiting to have someone approve that scope statement. So, yeah, we can start that process, but we're also prohibited from writing a rule until 10 days.
I think the other thing, Speaker, in terms of, you know, what is the plan, you know, it has been laid out. So I, in terms of being able to have those conversations with your members, one thing I would suggest in terms of, I'm not saying this is what would be drafted, because we're not allowed to start drafting the rule until that scope statement is submitted to LRB. LRB won't publish it until Monday, and then we have to wait 10 days from Monday to put pen to paper. But, you know, the Badger Bounce Back Plan, which is modeled after what President Trump proposed in the CDC, you know, we've laid out in terms of what the different phases would look like in terms of, you know, phase one, which, you know, we're very close to being able to hit. You know, we're 5 out of the 6 indicators on those gating criteria. And phase one was looking at, you know, for example, having a 10-person mass gathering ban, opening up non-essential businesses, but having restrictions in terms of capacity and other things like that. So I'd encourage you, if you're looking at how to start the conversation, I think that's a natural place to start in terms of what the administration has already laid out, where, absent the lawsuit, where we would have been heading towards. And so if there are provisions in that phase one that are non-starters or are things in terms of what Senator Fitzgerald listed out in terms of areas that you would like to be addressed, I think that's a good starting point in terms of having that conversation.
Well, the Badger Bounce Back and WMC and everything that Jimmy Strobel and Roger Roth were working on, I mean, that's all behind us. We're open. So that was my point originally, was I would hope that this hope statement would be based on moving forward. How do we tackle these major statewide concerns where clearly they fall into that category? I mean, Major League Baseball may want to play a game in July. The Packers are going to play this fall. There's going to be mass gatherings that people are going to come to the state of Wisconsin and say, how do we put this together? What's the strategy? Kids are going to show up for the dormitories in the fall on campuses. What's the strategy on that? I mean, Badger Bounce Back is over. That's behind us. We're open. So I would assume that this scope statement would be created to move forward. I mean, we don't have to meet the gating criteria anymore. We're already there. If the secretary has parameters on what a flare-up looks like or something in regards to tracing and testing, sure, that seems appropriate to me at this point. But I don't know why we're looking back, because that was all to get us to the day we opened. Well, that happened yesterday. So I would hope that this is more about what does this day look like over the next 6 months, and how do we kind of approach these very difficult situations like nursing homes and group gatherings and everything else that's kind of out there. And the speaker's right. I mean, if the default position is, listen, that's something that's going to be determined by the public health nurse in the city of Watertown. Fine. Then let Carol Quest do that. She's been doing it for 25 years in Watertown. So I'm not sure why we're looking backward. We're past all that stuff. That's over with. Why don't we look forward and come up with that list of things that need to be addressed, because there's probably a statewide concern, like having 40,000 people at Miller Park. I mean, those are the types of things that I would be focused on, and I think that's what the legislature is worried about now. Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm missing something here.
I mean, the Badger Bounce Back incorporates all of the things that you just talked about. I mean, the plan allowed for gauging and opening up for all of the things that you just talked about. And so I think that's part of the reason why we're coming back to this as sort of the framework for this conversation about what do you guys like and what do you not like, and to be specific about that, because the very things, Senator, that you talked about were covered in the Badger Bounce Back Plan. Testing, contact tracing, also taking care and protecting long-term care facilities, large mass gatherings, and all of that was in the plan we put out.
I'm looking at it right now. I see that. I mean, those components are what I would think you would probably incorporate into a scope statement now that says, all right, we've already arrived on this. How do we monitor going forward? I mean, I don't know what the plan would have been 2 weeks from now. If you guys could elaborate, like, at this point, this would have kicked in 2 weeks from now when we pulled the plug on everything. I mean, maybe that would be helpful. Maybe that's the place you start with this. I'm not sure.
Well, even to follow up on that, Can you explain to us, because I have looked everywhere, and maybe if you could just point me to the website or however it works, but how does someone leave? I understand what it takes to get from safer at home to phase one, which were the six criteria you laid out. How does someone get from phase one to phase two? Because I can't find that anywhere.
Yeah, it's always been around continuing to monitor those criteria or those metrics, and if there's any dramatic changes in that, that would probably mitigate against opening up. You know, if all things are going to hell in a handbasket, that may have slowed us down as far as opening something up. But it was all contingent, and frankly, I'm hearing both of you say, that's water over the dam, everything's open, forget about that. And that's a problem, but I understand how the Supreme Court works. So,
Governor, I don't understand that, though.
Everything is open.
So what you're saying is between phase one and phase two, there was no metrics, no gating criteria. It would have just been a judgment call on your part.
We'd use the same ones. If indeed there were surges and for some reason the criteria using the COVID percentage, if that started bouncing up around 10 or 20, we'd have to say, there's a problem here. Let's see if we can solve it. And that might mean that instead of opening up bars with no parameters, we would say, let's open up bars as it did with Texas and 25% capacity. It would have been a thoughtful, same process that no longer exists. And frankly, I'm not even going to say it, because that, I'll stop there. So,
I think the point, though, Speaker, is, you know, getting back to what you would like in a rule is, you know, so to me, in terms of that back and forth, you know, the clear question or issue would be in terms of having very specific, you know, if there is a phased approach. So I think one question is whether or not you'd want a phased approach in terms of, you know, whether that's addressing the long list that Senator Fitzgerald addressed in terms of just going, you know, specific situation by specific situation. By contrast, trying to do a much broader approach in terms of capacity limits or some other thing. But then to, in terms of the back and forth, there is, you know, if you are interested in a phased approach, making sure that there's very clear criteria to move from one phase to the next. Correct?
Well, and that's the reason I'm asking the question, is that if you're putting out a scope statement and you're basically saying we're either safer at home or we're not, and the phases are entirely based on how we feel we're doing, that's pretty hard to put in a rule. Right?
Well,
if you're going to give us a scope statement and then have a rule that kind of says we're going to look at how we feel.
Well, I don't think that's what we're communicating. I think part of the question is, you know, what would be, you know, in order to have a rule that's not objected to, what would you be looking for? And so obviously it's not, you know, you want to me it sounds like you want to have clear criteria in terms of if there is a phased approach to move from one phase to the other.
Well, and just to piggyback on that, I think the Badger Bounce Back, it specifically says in there that the gating criteria, as the governor said, it's not when we feel like it. It's the same process for moving from safer at home to phase one and from phase one to phase two. And we know that as you open up, and I know you all know this, as we open up, we are going to see increased in infection because more people are going to be around each other. That's just the nature of this. And so that's why we want a chance for the system to stabilize. We open things up, we turn the dial, we see what happens with the gating criteria. If everything is green, then we go on to the next, we go on to the next area. And that it's very regimented in that.
Yeah, but Maggie, I mean, I'm not looking at the text, but I'm looking at the diagram on the action and then safer at home. It has open restaurants, that's done. Open bars, that's done. Open essential businesses, that's done. Non-essential businesses, that's done. Open post-secondary education institutions. All right, that is a huge hill we have to overcome. That is a huge problem that we have right now. Open K-12 schools, same thing. Huge issue. Schools are going to want to know where the hell they're at by June, right? Beyond that, open daycares, done. Voluntary quarantine of travelers from high prevalence areas. I'm not sure if that's done or not, I guess, but my point is all of these items now are behind us. So moving forward, I think we have enough on our plate that if you're going to issue a scope statement, I hope that it includes a lot of the things that are ahead of us versus the stuff that was dealt with yesterday. Because Badger Bounce Back was how do we open up the state, but of the criteria and of what I'm looking at here, you know, for better or worse, you can be totally against it. I get it. You hate what the court did. But that's all stuff that's behind us besides what I can gather, post-secondary and K-12. Everything else has been addressed already, right?
Yeah, it has, obviously. Not to our liking.
I get that. You don't like it.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we would have opened up bars just like they did in any other state with some sort of parameter. Instead of seeing pictures today of bars absolutely bursting at the seams, knowing full well that there's all sorts of viruses being transmitted. Would we have preferred not to happen? Yes. But, okay, so we understand we're going to move the
Governor, when was the last time you were in Home Depot on a Saturday? When was the last time you were in Walmart on a Saturday? Are you kidding me? You're not being serious right now, are you?
Yes, I am.
Those places are bursting at the seams every weekend.
I've driven by. I've driven by when they have lines outside and they're not letting people in. So at least they're doing
something. Oh my gosh! I've been in both of them numerous times. They're bursting at the seams. Costco is out of control over in Sun Prairie every weekend. It's ridiculous. So I know what you're saying, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I mean, my point is, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just saying, as far as I'm concerned, the scope statement should be, let's tackle the biggies that are out there in front of us instead of worrying about the small stuff that was all decided yesterday. Okay. Let's figure out where we're at on some of these huge items. These are massive things that we're going to have to tackle in the next couple months so that we can give the high sign to schools and universities and to public events as to, you know, if there's going to be any criteria at all. And if we don't arrive at some agreement on that, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, and just put what's, okay, what authority should the state have if there is a, in whatever the limit is, you know, but some sort of catastrophic increase in numbers?
No, somebody should call Barry Alvarez and say, is there going to be football in Camp Randall starting in August?
I'm saying given what happened yesterday, if there's some large outbreak that could be traced to a situation that where people weren't doing the things probably they should have been doing, or there's inappropriate numbers of people in a place, we just let that go. Is that right?
No, I think Quick Trip right now has posted in every one of their stores that the department said a limit of 20 people in the store at one time. I know that is. I've seen it posted on the doors. So there's obviously some type of criteria related to how many people can be in so many square foot. So I'm assuming that that's already been decided, but I don't have that in front of me. So
okay.
I mean, if we look at the Badger bounce back plan, okay, so I have that in front of me too. On page one, where you put about a bunch of things that everybody should be doing, wash your hands, cover coughs, don't go out if you're ill, use a face mask if you're ill, you know, all those things, I think those are good ideas that all of us should be saying that we need to keep doing regardless of what happened yesterday, right? If we could all start by saying we agree on that, I think that will help keep people safer. It will give them confidence that we are all taking the virus seriously, and it allows us to focus on things that we can agree on, number one, right? I think Fitz is right, though, to think about going forward, because the chances of us adopting a rule that would say we're going to close all bars again is very remote, right? So if we spend all of our time arguing about what the court did and spend the next 2 weeks doing that, it's not going to be very productive, and in the end, it's probably not going to be helpful. So if we could focus on to say, you're right, I am concerned that we are going to have some kind of a large outbreak, and how are the locals going to deal with that, and how do we coordinate between Racine, Kenosha, and Burlington, right, or wherever it would be. So I agree that that is a problem that I would like to have us look at, to say there has to be a broader response if there is a multi-jurisdictional outbreak. That is something that I think is reasonable, right? But okay, to just say, we're, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to clarify what you just said. So something that would address how the state handles a multi-jurisdictional issue, is that some kind of problem, how the state can help resolve that?
Yes, I'm open to that, and your ability through the department to help coordinate a more of a regional response if that's required. Right now, the definition of a hotspot and how it's actually traced, I mean, those are more details, and I get that. But I think, and I don't want to speak for Senator Cheryl, but I think all of us should be on the same page of saying if there's a large outbreak, we want to keep the public safe. The definition of how we make that work and what's appropriate as we try to get everybody back to somewhat normal, whether it was May 26th or May 15th, to me is a little bit less important because, you know, we're going to deal with this no matter how we do it. And I'm more concerned, as Fitz said, as people start to naturally begin to get together. I mean, just so you know, and you're right, I mean, we all have different perspectives. I mean, everywhere I go, people are already doing a lot of these things, but they just aren't necessarily doing it in a bar or a restaurant, right? I mean, I think a lot of these things have been occurring, and there's a lot of people who are doing good things. They are staying socially distant. They are, you know, putting on a mask if they feel like they need to do that in order to keep somebody safe or others safe. So I think there's a lot of best practices that, we can either argue with each other in public, which will undermine public confidence, or we can try to say, look, there are good practices that Republicans and Democrats actually agree on. I think that would be confidence building for the state, and I think it would help us get to the point where if there was an outbreak, people have confidence that we're going to work together to do it, as opposed to, you know, from our side, you imposing, and from your side, us not caring.
I mean, Mr. Speaker, this is Maggie. With all due respect, we have that plan. I mean, we work regionally. We're working with your county and your city and with Kenosha County right now on addressing that outbreak. I mean, we are actively doing that with the National Guard, with DHS, with local public health, with public officials. I guess I'm struggling because we already do that.
So I guess you don't need a rule?
Well, but I guess that's why I'm not understanding what you're asking for, because we already coordinate, and it's happening in your own community right now. We are coordinating across jurisdictions, and we are, when there is an outbreak, we are addressing it. So my question is, are you asking us to promulgate a rule on how we handle an outbreak like that?
I guess what I'm getting at is I'm trying to understand the need for the rule and where there are holes that we need to fill in. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, you know, if for some reason you don't feel that you have the ability to bring together Jim Cruiser, Jonathan Delagrave, my mayor, Corey Mason, you know, and you need to have some kind of ability to force people to work together, which I don't necessarily think you do, but I mean, that would be one topic, right? But it seems like if you've already got the ability to do what you're doing, and frankly, you know, I know the reason, at least in my region, it's because of a large immigrant population where, you know, it's just a difference in culture where people are living much closer and working much closer. Certainly you want to coordinate that amongst where people live and work. I just trying to understand the need for a rule at DHS separate from what you're already doing to be able to accomplish that goal.
Okay, that's helpful. Well, we will, good. So we have a list of things that might be helpful in a rule. We have other things that may not be in a rule, need to be in a rule. And so let's get that scope statement out, and let's, you folks can go back to your caucuses and have conversations about some of the issues that both of you brought up about addressing emerging hotspots and, you know, schools and things like that. But, you know, I get it.
Governor, can I bring up, can I go back to testing and tracing? I mean, all that stuff continues at the same level it was happening at before. Is that correct? Nothing changed on that front?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's fine. Just wanted to check on that. And then the other thing would be, can you just describe kind of federal funds and where we're at on that? And is the money coming in, and is it moving directly to the agencies? Or I just want to get your take of how that, if that's happening and how it's happening up until now.
I'll let Maggie take that.
Yes, Senator. So we are, as we've gotten most of the federal funds, as you know, we are continuing to get their additional sort of grants and appropriations that continue to come out from the federal government. We've been obviously working with the federal government to get more information. They have FAQs that have sort of been rolling every week that provide more specificity on what these dollars can be used for. As I've mentioned, we're still working on trying to get some additional clarification on what the reporting and accountability measures will be. They have not provided that information to us really yet. And so just so you are both aware that as we move forward, you know, the likelihood that we're going to get this is, you know, we're going to have to operate and collect as much information as we can from those that are awarded grants, but we are not getting that sort of guidance from the federal government on what they expect from us on that. So just so you are both aware, but we are in the process of, we're working, talking with some agencies, and are hoping to have some information to share very soon about the appropriation of those dollars. But I think the other thing I would say is that as we are moving through this process, one thing that is very much on the front of our minds is that, you know, we don't know when we're going to get another batch of money. And you know, especially now with what happened yesterday, you know, we are going to have to be prepared to see spikes in communities across the state. And so we, you know, for us, part of this is, well, we are going to have allocations that will obviously go out. We also are going to have to make this money last. And that's also being factored into this because we don't know when we're going to get more money from the federal government.
What about unemployment? Where are you guys at on that?
So I think they are continuing every single week. They are working. We have been we've been transferring more interdepartmental, doing more interdepartmental transfers between agencies. They have been doing mass hiring. I think they brought on at least another 60 people this week. And they have two call centers that will be operational next week that will be able to help both on the claims processing and the adjudication side. So they are continuing to work on, I think that, you know, every single week we are bringing on new people, whether new hires or being moved from other departments. They continue to build up staffing, and those call centers are opening next week.
Just to let you know, too, that with the contact tracers, we've had an extraordinary large number, extraordinary good news, an extraordinarily large group of people that are expressed interest in it. I think we're hoping to hire up 1,000. I think we have at least 3,500 to 4,000 people that have expressed interest. So that is all good news. That helps us, not only helps us in what was going on in the past, but as we anticipate, you may not, but we anticipate that there's going to be some surges and we're going to need some big-time help to make sure that we corral them in a way that works for everybody.
Can I just bring up two quick topics? So on that, for unemployment, have you considered actually having people work a second shift? Because they've had a lot of complaints that at 3:30 and after that they have a hard time getting through if you work, or if you're working part-time or your spouse does.
They are working round the clock, Mr. Speaker. I've literally been on phone calls with DWD staff. I'm not kidding you. It's 12:15 in the morning.
I believe you, but for the public, they tell me that the public can only get through between 7:30 and 3:30, and then it stops till the next day.
Okay, I haven't heard that. I'll follow up with the department directly on that.
Okay, and then on the ability to hire contact tracers. So I've gotten complaints from my local public health department that they have people already on the ground, and they're being told by the department that you're hiring people for our region when they already have people that are able to do it and are being not necessarily utilized because you're bringing in your own folks. Have you guys been working through the agencies as opposed to just hiring your own?
Absolutely. We coordinate.